Moi, je...
Ok, bien.
Start with the Tollway, North West London. Wednesday, Nisruchag, 24th of Tishri, 19th of October. Rabbi Huda, Baruch Lieben, Shlita, a new beginning. This week's Tollway, my family Moss, on the 13th, the outside of our dear friend and participant, Mr. Yossel Moss, via Nishmas, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Rob, Zephyr, Rabbi Rob, whose outside was on Simchas Torah.
Good morning. In one of the milas of Sheva Brachas is that new Chosim and Kala are distracted for a week. Well, there's other reasons for Sheva Brachas, but for a week there's such a tumult back and forth, and every night another Suda. You know, by that point they don't want to see no schnitzel, no meat, no kugel. They've had enough. And they also though, you know, they shmooze, but there's plenty of other people. And then, after that, finished. After the Sheva Brachas, maybe the next morning, maybe 2 days later, at some point, life starts again. And she's going to go to work, and he's getting up early, he's going to learn to work. It's real life, real life. And the truth is, we've had a honeymoon for the last almost a month. Yeah, 3 weeks. Plus, but the nearer the Kurva, the closeness of Rosh Hashanah, the Tara of Yom Kippur, the Simcha of Sukkos, the Dveikus of Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, it's like a bit of a shock to the system to wake up and to, it's a normal Shacharis, normal day, we're back to real life. Of course, that's important because everything is a preparation to take those messages, to take that kirva, that closeness that we developed over the last 3 weeks, and then now living is really what it was all about. So today is really a very important day, being the first day of the rest of the year, the rest of Tashin Pei Gimel. We're out of the nest now, and it's our chance to stand on our own feet and do something about it. On the other hand, there's a mila to it, in that it's new, it's fresh. It's a beginning. And that's something I'd like to talk about. Just Negea to Talmud Torah. Yesterday was Simchas Torah. Today we start our Limud HaTorah again. It's a new parasha, Chumash Rashi. There's always those who learn Parshas Bereishis, Chumash Rashi, and do Shnai Mikra, Chumash Rashi and Parshas Bereishis. Their minig is only Parshas Bereishis. Yeah. Some people have this minig with Maseches Brachos. When the Daf Yomi starts, they start Maseches Brachos. So the first period of Maseches Brachos, they've all learned. They've learned it many times. It's always, beginnings in a way are easy. And yet Chazal tell us, kol hascholos koshes. It's an interesting thing. On the one hand, there's a new start, there's a new freshness. So what is difficult about beginnings? Maybe it's getting started. Let's just touch on what it means, starting, new. Fresh, because Chazal tells us, "Misein Shema every day voyad barim eila shenich mitzavcha hayoyim al vavavecha hayoyim hayoyim." Tells us the Torah has got to be kechadoshim b'chol yoyim yu beinecho kechadoshim. Every day, our limud Torah has to be chadosh, as if it's new. It's not new. It's kechadoshim, not new. I learned yesterday, day before. We're learning for years. Maybe done Chumash Rashi loads of times. What does it mean kechadoshim? That's really what we'd like to touch on, think about, and be misbehaving. I'm reminded of Master Shiva Oliver Sholem, who spoke to us as kids. I don't remember the whole drasha, but one thing I do remember was the new suit. The difference between a new suit and an old suit. And he described how, you know, your brand new suit, you bring it home, where does it go? If you knew the Master Shiva, good old Manchester accent, in the cupboard on a hanger, right? You hang it in the cupboard because it's brand new. I said, Matzah Shabbos, what do? You fold up the trousers and you hang it back on the hanger and it goes back in the cupboard. Like, posh it. Second week, you probably still hang it on a hanger, he said. The third week, you hang it on the hanger, but not Matzah Shabbos. It's really Sunday morning. And the fourth week, I don't remember exactly the details, but we all know it's like. The fourth week, it's you're looking for your suit Friday afternoon, you can't find the trousers, the shlum somewhere at the end of the bed, they didn't quite. Chodosh, when something is new, it has an appeal, that it loses after time, which is interesting because it's not really the quality. If we keep folding the suit, we probably couldn't tell the difference between a 5-6 week old suit and a brand new suit. It's not the creases, it's not the stains. What is it? It's yosher. It's not chadosh anymore. What makes something new so exciting? It's certainly not practical, because sometimes something secondhand a person gets and he feels it's new. It's new to him. So what is... I don't know. My thoughts... I often think, you know, when something's chadosh, when something's yosher. Something that's yosher is something that I have because I had it. I had it now because I had it yesterday. It's not a chiddush. It means it's not... I don't have a tzad to not have it. A new suit, yeah, I didn't have it. I'm not used to the idea. It's just in mind, but I'm not used to the idea that this is my suit. So therefore, I'm surprised when I find it. And therefore, I've discovered it, and I'm now getting it afresh. When I get used to it, I know I've got it. Once I know I've got it, so why do I have it? Because of yesterday. Because I had it. Well, I've always had it. It doesn't feel like I've always had it. It's continuation. It's not a new start. And the same thing in life with anything that's chadosh. What does it mean to do a mitzvah in a way that's yosher, that's old? Do you know I do the mitzvah? Because that's what I do. I always do it. That's just how it's part. As soon as something is by rote, it's not chadosh. When something's still chadosh, it means I have to ask myself, why am I doing it? You notice it when it comes to davening in a minyan. Sometimes a minion's a new minion, haven't been there before. It's a fresh place. So, or you haven't yet decided where you're davening. A person moves to a new place, he hasn't yet decided where he's davening. Some people keep up this chiddush for many, many years. That's a wonderful thing. They move to a new place, they're still working out where to daven. They've only been living here for 15, 20 years, but they're still one, haven't yet decided which shul. But really in a new place, you're not. And therefore, we appreciate place. You notice things about it. You pick up the peculiarities and idiosyncrasies of the place because it's new. When you've decided this is where I daven, you don't notice it. I'm davening it because I always davened here. In Torah, there's two ways of learning Torah. We can learn Torah because that's what I do, and we can learn Torah because chadosh, because I've decided today I need my new chelik. That's the simplest taich in yuveinach chadoshim. And of course the implications of it are very, very significant. We'll get to that in a minute, but I'd like to take it a level further, think about Simchas Torah, but just simple. What's the difference of learning chadosh and learning yosha? If there's anywhere that expresses itself, I think it's Chumash Rashi. When you learn a Gemara, you start a new Masechta, it's easy to learn B'chidosh, because you learn Chodosh. Because it's Chodosh, you say, I've never learned it before, I've learned it years back, I've got to work it out, I'm busy working it out. When it comes to Chumash Rashi, come on. Oops. When we learn Chumash Rashi, hopefully we learned it in school, hopefully we still learned it, depends whether they, what language they taught you in, maybe, you know, some people went to school and they learned it in Yiddish. Chashid once said they translate the incomprehensible to the ununderstandable or vice versa, whatever. So people sometimes struggle, and even in English sometimes words are used the kids don't understand. But most of us picked up Chumash Rashi pretty much as kids, then as adolescents. Of course, you went through Tzkuf and Yeshiva where Yeshiva don't know Chumash Rashi maybe. So it might have been a few years skip, and then you get back to we're learning Chumash Rashi. So what? It's so difficult to learn Chumash Rashi, Chodosh. Chodosh means fresh perspective. Actually asking ourselves, what does Rashi mean? And Rashi changes his mind. I must tell you, as we grow older, if we relearn the Rashi with the perspective of the wisdom, of the understanding of an older person, with the experience of the learning that we've picked up over the years, Rashi changes. We think Rashi's changed his mind, but of course we've changed our minds. But when you learn Rashi fresh, you notice things you never noticed before. The willingness, the ability to ask a kasha. I actually don't understand what this means. In Chumash Rashi, there are many, many Rashis that we really, really don't understand. What does Rashi mean? What's he saying? What's bothering him? What's driving him? There's no shaila that Rashi wrote his Pirush with Dikta Gavul, Rabbi Natan, that on every tippas dioy of Rashi, tzarech leishev zayin nekiyim. Every drop of ink, zayin nekiyim, it's a play on words, but it's the zayin nekiyim, 7 days you need to think about it. Rashi didn't put a drop of word in, a drop of ink in, no added words unless there's a reason for it. What is Rashi doing? What's bothering him? What was his shayla? And even if we don't have time to look at the Ramban, or to learn the Gur Arya, and understand the Amkus of Rashi, but Rashi starts to bother us. And Rashi has so many basic messages. Rabbi Yerucham used to talk about growing through the year by following Chumash Rashi. There's a Seder to the life of a Yid. I said, but Seder comes from learning Chumash Rashi. Rabbi Yerucham put tremendous doggish on learning Chumash Rashi. But that's only learning Chumash Rashi, not the Shanai Mikra in Chumash Rashi, which may be a Chiyuv. So Shaila, what's better, Targum or Rashi? Therefore, ideally, we do both. We're flowing through the parashas Hashanah. We're going through it, but it's Chadosh. Tavshim Pekim was Rashi, as if we've never seen it before. And when we do that, it adds a cheshek, adds a geshmak, adds a depth to our learning, and then it can be applied to Gemara also, because there's a Yosh on there as well. How often do we suffer from the struggle of kosha atika mechadata? Where it says in Yuma, that which is old is much more difficult than that which is new. Right? If you're building work and you're trying to plaster a wall, if it's a fresh wall, the plaster sticks. An old wall is much harder, but in many ways, kosha atika mechadata. To learn a Gemara that you've learned before, but to learn it. To learn a Gemara I learned last week or yesterday, to go over a Gemara. And the reality is, a Gemara only yields its peiros, only gives us the geshmak and the benefit after a number of times. When you're in school, one of the greatest gifts he gave us was a saying he would repeat all the time. You'd excuse the language, he was an American. And, you know, you're allowed to use these expressions in America. Well, it's nothing terrible, it's okay. He would say, 1, 2, 3, 4, dosi geshmak. 5, 6, 7, that's hell. 8, 9, 10, oh, dosi geshmak. First few times, it's fresh, it's easy, it's obvious that there's a chiddush there. 1, 2, 3, 4 is easy. Then you go through the 5, 6, 7, maybe even 8, where it's boring, just go over it again. But I said, that's what eventually yields the real peiros. The geshmak in the sugi comes going over it again. Bekosha tiki mechadata. To approach with the chiddush, with the ability to think, what does this mean to me? What is this Gemara telling me? What did Rashi want? And all of a sudden, it just starts to make sense. It starts. There's a new era that comes. But we have to be willing to learn it kechadoshim, because it's all kechadoshim with a freshness. Revisit it. That's one tzad. Simple mahalach in kechadoshim, and because it's the gear to Chumash Rashi, Chumash Rashi starts again. Basically today, because yesterday we're still doing the Shnei Mikra of Vezeis HaBrocha, at least Leil Simchas Torah is the time to do Chumash Rashi, the Shnei Mikra Vecha Targum. So some of those who didn't finish, Baruch Hashem, plenty of being Gavri Yavri yesterday, we finished. So unless you start the Chumash Rashi yesterday, today's the Bereishis. Remember that, to learn it with the Bereishis, with a fresh start. There's something that occurred to me that maybe can give a new depth, a new meaning to the chadoshim of Limud HaTorah. I don't know whether this bothered you ever. You know, I like things yekish and neat and orderly. I'm not much of a yek when it comes to time, but my desk is the biggest mess you can possibly imagine, but I do like order, in theory. And it's nice when things are in a straight line, they fit. You know, I like coming to a Beis Medrash. Everything's masuda and balanced. And, yeah, they laugh at me. Everything has to be exactly balanced, both sides of his mouth. So Yekishkeit. Rosh Hashanah is a new start. Wouldn't it be neater if we started the new parasha the week after Rosh Hashanah? Couldn't that be masada that new year, new start? Right, Tavshin Pei Beis had its Chumash Rashi. Tavshin Pei Gimel has its Chumash Rashi. So the week before Rosh Hashanah would be Simchas Torah. What's it schlecht? Why can't we do that? And Bereishis would be Shabbos Shuvah, new start, new year. Ah, Gevaliyah is Chadshus. Why is it that we wait 3 weeks? We have Rosh Hashanah, we have Yom Kippur, we have Sukkot, then we have the Simchas Torah, then we start again. There's lots of reasons for it. Avada, that the Pashto Pshat is that there's a Seder to the Yom Nirayim. And Rosh Hashanah is the start. A person gets a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, senses a new Malchus. Yom Kippur is where we align ourselves more with that new Malchus. We do tshuva, we make sure that the parts of us that are putting us away are removed, and we get rid of all the things that we don't want, focus on the Malchus. And then we appreciate the Simcha of the Malchus, but Dveikus Bakurish Baruch is only Shaykh through Torah, and that's Simcha's Torah. That's Shemini Atzeres, the day when we leave all the bits behind, straight to Dveikus Bakurish Baruch. That means that a new connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the connection of Tavshin Pei Gimel, starts, reaches its climax in Simchas Torah. And it starts with the Kesha that we have to Torah, the Dveikus that a Yid has to Torah. It means that our Kesha to Torah isn't just the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah. We say in Davening, we say in Chalkeinu B'Seir HaSechel, I'm saying the Yerotzen, the end of Korbanos, after Shemoneh Esrei, the same Chalkeinu B'Seir HaSechel. Pashto Pshat in that, I think, if we hadn't heard any other Pshatim, the same Chalkeinu B'Seir HaSechel would mean, let my Chalik be learning Torah. Let that which is important to me, what's my Chalik, what's my part in life, what am I doing learning Torah? When they ask you, Vos Tusta, Briskarov, Kirdua, he once came to Briskarov, and he said, what do you do? He said, I'm a lawyer. Carried on a conversation. Biskrov turned to him and said, what do you do? I said, I'm a lawyer. Very famous story. Continued. And Biskrov turned to him and said, and what do you do? And he said, Rebbe, I'm a lawyer. I'm a partner in a law firm. Yep. Again, Biskrov asked him, was tuste? So he got the Torah and said, maybe his Yiddish isn't good. So tell him, as I'm a, there's a big law firm in New York and I'm a partner. So I said, I didn't ask you how you get your parnosa. I asked you what you do. What do you do with your life? He said, Bayoina, they asked him, who are you? What do you do? And he said, Mama Asecha, what do I do? Ivri Anoiche. So he came out of Yosha, said, Shemaim Azorah, and exactly, Losh on the Posset. Ivri Anoiche. When I yid, when I didn't bash Shefa. He says, that's what you do with your life. In order to din b'shefa, right, you're going to be hungry. It's not going to work, so you have to eat. The local supermarket doesn't give stuff out for free, so you have to pay. And if you want to support your children, your family, they won't give you food and clothing either. And you have to pay the mortgage or the rent. So mainly you need money, so you go to work as part of Avodah Hashem. What do I do? I'm here to serve the revenge. I'm saying, chalkeinu b'seir sech achelik. What I really do in life should be terrible. One shot. It's interesting, Losh Chalkeinu. So we all know what to us is Pashto Pshat, Leili Alshich, as every person is a chelik in Torah. Every person is their own individualized part in Torah. And Mamela, because that's true, because we have a chelik in Torah, that's what we're asking for. We're saying Chalkeinu, we should be zeicher to have our chelik. Because after 120, Chazal tell us, a very powerful medrash brought by Nefesh Chaim at the beginning of Shadalot. After 120, there's a fair. And when we come upstairs, it's not just hello. It's Ashrei Mi Shebava Lekam Talmud Biyodeh. There's a fair on our learning. And somebody said he came to visit Rabbi Victor Miller towards the end of his life. He was in hospital already. There was no talking to him anymore. He was too busy. He couldn't talk to him. He was busy. What was he busy with? He was doing Chazara. Soon got the big fair. He was doing Chazara. Chazit Shas, Chazit Tush Chinoruch. He was a man who learnt, and when he learnt, he knew that if you learn it, you have to know it. A man who knows all of Shas, so you know part of Shas, you know Mesechtes. You can't know Mesechtes, you would know Prokim, but Pasha for him, you had to know things properly. That was the problem with Rabbi Victor Miller. That's why he went wrong. He took things literally. The reason why he ended up where he did, and I look like I do, is all this, it's because he took everything literally. He took it seriously. We all learn Rabbeinu Yonah. We take a pinch of salt. Learn the Chofetz Chaim. Yeah, Chofetz Chaim. He took it all literally. He took it as it says here that this is your tachlis in life, and this is your tachlis in life. So he took bitachon literally. He opened Shah B'china of the Chibz Avavas, where he speaks about looking at nature and learning from the world that we live in. He took it literally. And he implemented it, took it into his life. And it says you've got to learn Torah, and you've got to know Torah. He took it literally. In his shul, there was fahez. And if you got fahez on 1,000 daf, 2,000 daf, it became a chaval. He became a rav, I don't remember all the details, but it was a real thing by him. He learned, so he was chazering. The fahez took it literally. This is going to be a fahez. It is literal. Yeah. So he just knew it. If I had to visit, I was going through Chesed Mishpat. I'm sorry, I don't have time to talk, but if you want to go through Ktzos, I don't mind. So I went through Ktzos, because he learned Shulchan Aruch. Well, Ktzos wasn't that long the Sefer. Ktzos was one of the Pesachim of Chesed Mishpat. It was Chazer of Chesed Mishpat, so he had to know Ktzos. I said, it's not really exactly. Now, if that's true, then when we get up after 120, we're in big trouble, right? Because I don't know how many of us know Shas, Gemara, Rashi. Anybody here willing to put up your hand if you know Shas, Gemara, Rashi? Oh, I'm a long way off, right? Meredith Tesis, Marsha. What's going to be? So we've all failed for her before we start. Avadanish. V'sein chelkeinu v'sein rosecha. Everyone has their own chilek and Torah. And that means that we're only expected to get to where we can get to, but there will be a fahe. And it's Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, the Baruch Hashem will differentiate it. And it'll only be asked, Lafi, what we were meant to learn, saying, Chalkeinu b'Seir HaSechel. Each person's got his own private syllabus, but that's a tight shim, saying Chalkeinu b'Seir HaSechel. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. There's no shayla. But of course, there's a much deeper tight shim. And saying Chalkeinu b'Seir HaSechel, it's our chelik. What does a chelik mean? There's some chelkeinu kohen. There's a chelik. It's your portion. In the olden days, it was an achuzah. It was your home, your field, the place that you'd inherited. But it's a chelik. It's your part. It's who we are. This first chat, pictures as a list of texts. Remember GCSEs? Your kids took GCSEs or A levels. There's the set texts. It's also, all the neshamas are going down to Olam Hazeh. And on the way down, they stop and say, oh, by the way, there's going to be a mitzvah Talmud Torah when you get down there. These are the set texts. This is what you've got to get to. You've got to make sure you do, we expect when you get back, Baba Kama, Baba Metzir, Ksuvus, and Erechim. I don't know, whatever, with persons. One chat and say, Chalkim, Mitzvah, Sechodah. Go Yom Chilik. Kibani Al-Shech is saying much more than that. We're told that the Shishim Riboy Oisis Latira. 600,000 Isis Latira. How you work that out? Ein Shom, right? Nishbechalze Hamoyin Diyoy. Very different Pshotim, because when you count out, there's no 600,000 letters. And Yisroel, Rosh Hashanah, Yesh Shishim Riboy Oisis Latira. They're all very nice. But there can sometimes be a bit of a distraction about the main message of Yesh Shishim Riboy Oisis Latira. That there are 600,000 oisios in Torah, whatever those oisios are, parts of oisios, or the white, or the lam shene. And there are 600,000 Yiddish and Ashamis. Shishim riboy, it's not b'mikra, it's shishim riboy. So if we now have more than 600,000 Yidden, it's the same kasha. How can 600,000 Yidden when there's only 600,000 Ashamis? Because it's chelkei neshama. Because an neshama is a shorish chayim. And three people could share one neshama. They all branch off from one neshama. But they're all coming from one ois in Torah. There are 600,000 sources of life. Kiyum. So there's kivyochel, there's a flow of electricity. You can wire it through. And then you split up in series and parallel. It doesn't matter. But this is where your energy comes from, where your Makor Chaim comes from. And the Nishmas Yisrael, every neshama, has a source in Torah that it's yonik chius from. And on Simchas Torah Shnei Chazal, what opens is the Mayonis of Chochma, the flow. What a big difference between a well and a spring. A well stores water. It's a boir. A be'er is something that flows new water. It's a spring. There's a new flow. What we're being told is that there's a flow that comes from our chelik in Torah. A flow means there's a new sense of ischachus, a new sense of chayim. A be'er, as opposed to a boir, a be'er is always chadosh. The water in a be'er is always fresh. You don't have problems with the water getting old. It doesn't grow algae because there's a new... algae is when things are left, they become stagnant. Water in a be'er is never stagnant. It's always fresh. The Melech flows over. You have a stream coming out of it because it's a be'er. There's a chiddush. There's a mayon. A be'er must have a mayon. Must have a flow. There's a mayon. And the mayon is a chochma open and Simchas Torah is telling us that we have a mayon. There's a sugi of chiddushei Torah. The highest level of Torah is chiddushei Torah. Chaim Lozhin talks about the dveikus of Torah. The grace of a person being able to be mizdabik in Torah immediately goes on to the sugi of chiddushei Torah. There's a flow, and we think, chiddushei Torah, I'm not writing a sefer. If you're not writing a sefer, there's no chiddushei Torah. It's incorrect. Chaim Lozhin writes, Avnir di gazach. Chiddush means that I grasp something that wasn't there before, that wasn't available before. If you open a pasuk, you open a Rashi, you open a Mishnah, you open a Gemara, and the first time, that doesn't make any sense to me. What do? One thing is you can cheat. Look up here, look up there, look at the notes, look at the back, look at the... Yeah, it's fine, it's safer, it's good. But something much better. Learn it over again. And then again. 1, 2, 3, 4, still gishmak. 5, 6, 7 is tough. But that's what yields the 8, 9, 10, where all of a sudden there's a new chochmah, a new understanding, and it's suddenly fresh, and it suddenly makes sense. What happened? How come relearning something it provides a freshness? One of the answers is because you open the mayon. When a person works on a sugya and relearns it, it could be a sugya, it could be a mishnah, it could be a medrash, it could be a shtikul chumash midrash. We relearn it, and we go over it again, we suddenly touch into the mayon. When the mayon is a flow, and every one of us has a chelik in Torah, has a part of Torah where we can feel chius and chidush, excitement, and the sense that, wow, I'm touching something real and alive. It's like being plugged in. There's a sudden flow. And we can sense the flow in our chelik in Torah. It might be a lomdish shtikul Reb Chaim. It might be a cheshbon, organizing some mishnayos and getting them really clear. It might be getting the case of a chumash Rashi really clear. A pshat in a medrash, a dvar agoda, a good vort. But the moment we find our chelik in Torah, the part that touches us, we're able to touch that mayon where there's a flow, and if we're omol v'yogeah, if we really put hard work into relearning the Torah, there's our chelik in Torah, there's a mayon that enables the kol yom yu beinecha kadoshim to be a completely different experience of limudat Torah that in turn infuses a life into everything that we're doing, to all our mitzvahs, to our tefillah, which is v'zeich ha'taker, same chalkeinu v'sera secho, and that will bring us back to the Sherish of all Yiddish and Neshamas, Shom Navot Chabiro, to get back to the Samikdash, Kimei Oilom, Yishonim Kadmon Yis. You dumped everything.